herzlich willkommen zu unserem Audio-Feature Hinter den Kulissen. Eine Kooperation zwischen dem Kunstverein Bielefeld und dem Fachbereich Gestaltung der Fachhochschule Bielefeld. Hier erfahrt ihr mehr über verschiedene Aspekte der kuratorischen Praxis und über die Institution Kunstverein.
You have your exhibition tomorrow. How are you feeling? Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm feeling very excited. It feels like, I mean, tomorrow in many ways is the easy part. It's the part where we get to share it with everybody. But all the work is already done. And it was nice this week working with Oriane to figure out the places for all the pieces. This isn't always easy at all, especially because the space is very kind of narrative and labyrinth-like. So it's very hard to make a nice balance with the space. But it was really nice working with Oriane.
Das kleine Bild heißt Eye Open at the End. Und das große heißt Sch.
Wie wird es geschrieben?
Sch.
Exhibited before in a different space, and did you modify your exhibition or something in your works so it's fitting to this place?
Well, I made two new paintings for this exhibition, so those were having the space in mind. Otherwise, I visited the space before, and that helped me pick out the paintings that I thought would work the best in the space. So the space definitely influenced which ones I chose and the later ones I made. One of the things that was very difficult in the exhibition was trying to figure out how to place the sculptures. And I think that the place that was one of the most interactive parts of being in the space.
My angel who travels by lightning.
Aus welchem Material ist das überhaupt?
Knochen oder so? Kann das?
Holz? Oder ist das angesprayt?
Ja, es ist angesprayt auf jeden Fall.
Ist das Holz?
Das ist Holz wahrscheinlich.
Nein, das ist. Guck, hier ist auch so was.
Nee, das ist Schaumstoff.
Schaumstoff?
Ich glaube schon.
Meinst du, guck mal, auf hier ist so was. Das sieht aus wie.
Das Stockport. Schaum. Guck mal von hinten, siehst du. Bauschaum. Optik. Da oben blättert es ab, also es ist auf jeden Fall bezogen oder besprüht.
Mhm. Ja, dadurch, dass es hängt, hat man aber auch kein Schweregefühl dafür.
Ja, das stimmt.
Hinter den Kulissen. Im Gespräch mit der Künstlerin Sikuya Scavullo sprechen wir über ihre Ausstellung The Taste of Your Fireplace, die sie im Kunstverein Bielefeld zeigte. Mit im Gespräch sind Oriane Durand, Interimsdirektorin des Kunstvereins Bielefelds, sowie Kirsten Wagner, Professorin am Fachbereich Gestaltung. Das Interview führten die Studierenden Noel Ehrenfeld und Ronja Bösel.
Can you say something about your studies in Paris? How was it for you as a student? What was your experience?
Well, I can tell you my experience kind of by giving the background that I did go to art school in America. And I went to another liberal arts school, like your regular university for where non-art students go to. Also, I did a double degree. And so my experience of the Beaux-Arts was very informed by having this American experience before. And so I think I need to explain the American one before. So the American one is much more rigorous in a certain way, that we have a lot more things asked of us, a lot more deadlines, a lot more pressure to produce work and to be able to talk and explain the work. We have a lot more group critiques where people get really, really nasty in the work, which helps one grow a lot, really helps us grow. But in a way, sometimes what I would find in America is that it was sort of a blessing and a curse because the critiques were really good. But also sometimes people were just saying things to say things. So this would get really confusing because they would be like, oh, I don't like the placement of the blue, just because we have to critique. So it'd be very confusing, and I didn't feel very free. So when I went to the Beaux-Arts, there is no structure in comparison to American school. And I was very shocked and very happy, because that is exactly what I needed. And I think that in some ways, I think it's good that I had this, you know, very rigorous training in America. But in other ways, I think if you want to be an artist, you kind of need this no structure, because no one's in your art career, no one's ever going to be telling you what to do, and you shouldn't be working for those reasons anyway. So it's really important to have it be led by you. Have your you seek out the teachers you want to have meetings with. You seek out everything that forms your experience. You're in charge of your experience. Otherwise, you can just float along and be very unnoticed and not do anything, really. My experience at the Beaux-Arts, I was really happy because when I had all this free time, I felt as though I was painting things that were more true to what I wanted to paint. So that goes back to having the maybe too much critique, too much self-consciousness, and made it my work too literal, you know, too conceptual, where I wanted to have more of a intuitive relationship to my work that the freedom gave me.
Did you feel like it was all a bit more of a competition?
Yeah, I think it is competition, but it's complex because it comes down to the fact that the school is so expensive. So it's more about getting your money's worth. And that kind of competition within the self.
Yes, yes. You don't want to waste your money.
Yeah.
Right.
And that makes you maybe focus on things that aren't maybe your true nature.
Sekuyas doubled edged sword. Dors Stilbatsayugis. Wir stehen vor einem 150 x 200 cm großen Ölgemälde mit Nachtfaltern auf Leinwand. Abgebildet ist formatfüllend eine sandsteinfarbene Tafel vor rosafarbenen Pastelltönen. Am unteren Bildrand sind Nachtfalter in die Ölfarbe eingearbeitet. Auf der Tafel sieht man eine Legende für ein Alphabet. Auf der gegenüberliegenden Raumseite hängt in circa 3 Meter Höhe die Skulptur My Angel Who Travels by Lightning, ungefähr 12 x 70 cm groß und aus Aluminium und Holz gearbeitet. Die Skulptur erinnert an die Buchstaben auf der Tafel.
Ich würde auch nicht davon reden, dass da eine neue Sprache gesucht wurde, sondern irgendwie einfach eine andere Weise, zum Buchstaben auszudrücken. Ja, also es gibt ja verschiedene Ebenen in diesem Bild dann. Mhm. Ne? Also auch von der Hierarchie im Bild. Mhm. Das ist ja ganz klar aufgeteilt. Halt auch diese Tafel macht das halt überdeutlich. Dann gibt es aber, es ist von außen hinzugefügt, und nicht nur diesen Farbauftrag, sondern dann noch dieses Ankleben. Aber von Faltern, also hier sind echte, auch so Körper und Flügel von so Motten. Ich bin auch sofort erst bei der Schrift, bei der Typo. Und dann wandere ich immer zu diesen Stängeln, dann halt zu den Faltern. Das ist, aber obwohl beim ersten Mal drauf gucken, fiel es mir auch schwer, erst diese Falter zu sehen. Die kamen erst ganz, ganz zum Schluss. Und jetzt sehe ich sie nur noch.
S G H D R S D Y E O B D E B E. Es ist auf jeden Fall interessant, dass sie an irgendwie entlehnte Symbole genommen hat. Also das muss ihr ja auf eine Art auch klar gewesen sein.
Das erinnert halt irgendwie immer an was.
Genau.
Also bei dem L zum Beispiel an so ein Blattstängel.
Das zwingt einen zum Lesen. Also es ist ein Bild, was man liest, automatisch. Und das macht irgendwie was mit der Betrachtung. Also man sucht dann in jedem Strich, in dem Bild schon, dann auch in den weiteren, die Buchstaben, die man dann jetzt in Anführungsstrichen gelernt hat. Genau, und man versucht das Bild zu entdecken.
schlüsseln auf eine logische Art, die eben genauso funktioniert, wie das Alphabet auch funktioniert hat vorher. Also eigentlich ein relativ verklausulierter Ansatz, wenn man so will.
Saden. Asen. 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 Nsat. Nsat. Nsat.
How do you, especially for us as students, how do you go on about connecting? How does it all work out?
This is a very complicated question. I think it's different for everybody. I think it's really different for everybody. I can say my technique, but I don't know if it's a good technique. I guess for me, I'm very intimidated by this question of networking.
I think for all of us,
yeah,
it is.
To me, it's kind of disgusting. Like this idea of, hey, you know, look at me. I don't like it at all. So I think the best way to go about it is to be very relaxed, to try to put yourself out there and go to all the openings and go to all the events and observe everything and just be completely yourself. And be the most relaxed yourself way. And then people start asking you questions. And don't try to impress them and don't try to give them all the information. Just try to sort of show them a little bit of your world. Like, just be yourself. But, yeah. I think it's very important to do all the applying for all the residencies and all of the prizes. Applying for prizes is really important. I'd won some prizes that I think make people more confident in talking to me. I think as a student also, because I don't really know. I mean, every single artist has a different type of career, but I do think that once the ball starts rolling, I think you kind of need to have your shit together. And so the most important thing as a student is to have a very, very profound relationship and confidence in your work, to make sure that's the only thing you have control over, is to make sure the work is the strongest work you can make. So then, you know, when the universe works out, you'll have that, which is the most important foundation, to keep rolling off of.
Talking about your background, we also learn a bit about your influences in your painting.
So it's interesting because I always knew that. So I grew up with my mother, who is Italian, and my father is Taino, but he passed away when I was young. And a lot of the themes in the paintings are this relationship with death. Not limited to mourning and the whole spectrum of joy and the beauty and the mystery of having a relationship with someone who's dead. But so I wasn't in touch with that side of the family. I was in touch with my grandma, who separated from, it's getting maybe too detailed, but there was a part of my family that was kind of hidden from me for several reasons. And they didn't get along with my mother. And during the confinement, I asked my godmother if I could have the email of someone who's in the Taino tribe. And I emailed her, and that opened up the whole relationship with getting to know that part of my family better. And they gave me stuff that my dad had, and they told me a lot of things. And so it made a really big influence on me, because it's sort of understanding. One of the most beautiful things about it is understanding and having confidence in a lot of part of myself and a lot of parts of myself that I was sort of confused about, and realizing that it was kind of legitimate. Like their relationship to dreams, whereas I have a very strong relationship to my dreams. And I don't know, in some type of, in our society, sometimes that can just be brushed along. And there it's just very important and very, very solid. So it affects my work in a lot of ways because it gives me confidence in parts of myself that are validated.
I totally understand. And the Taino culture is it from Venezuela? And your father's from Venezuela?
No. So, I mean, the Tainos were a big, big tribe. My family, my grandma did some tests, and they're from Barbados. But they are Tainos that were in America for a very long time. So the Taino history goes back very far, but they're in the Native American, lifestyle for a long time.
Yeah. Because I also get that connection through my mother. Mm-hmm. She's from South America in Guyana. Mm-hmm. And it's also the connection to the dreams. And that's why I really like your paintings, because they depict it so well. Because as soon as you want to describe a dream, it's very, you have such clear images in your head, but it's so hard to put them out, either in word or in painting. And as you said, in this society, it's not that common to put so much meaning to dreams.
Yeah. And even almost sometimes when people say it, like, I can tell there's two types of people looking at the paintings. Some people, they really kind of, it allows them to go deeper. And some people see the dreamlike quality and they sort of are like, okay, dreams, fluff. Which is fine, but it's just talking about the part of culture that is very sort of closed off to that.
Perhaps we can say that in this holistic point of view from the Taino, that the mind is connected to the body, the soul is connected to the body, and in that way, the dreams are saying something. As the body, when the body is sick, like you in the Western society, you will just look at the part of the body which is sick. But in the in this holistic point of view that connects the mind and the body, you analyze also the dream and what they're saying about your body and your mind, in fact. And that's why it is so important. I mean, that's why he has a form of importance, I will say, in your work, in the fact that it's not also only psychoanalysis. It's something concrete almost that influence your well-being, the way you go through life, what you believe in, and it's like belief and what you do are really connected and determine your path in life and also your well-being, as I said. Yeah,
it's a really important part, because I'm realizing that, for example, there is a lot of surrealism that deals with the dreams. And the one thing that was missing for that in that for me is that surrealism is often trying to replicate the dream world. But what I find that's really nice with the Tainos is that it's not isolated in this thing of the dream world. Mm-hmm. It's really this holistic thing of, it's just like your eye, it's a part of the body. It does affect the daytime and the reality of your life, and it's a perspective. And I like that we can bring it into the everyday, and that it's legitimate and not ignored. I think it's very fascinating.
Yes. It's not disconnected.
Yeah. I don't know why we think it's disconnected. To me, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a big information going on all night.
Connected.
Yeah. My mom is a shiatsu acupressurist, so I'm used to this idea of the holistic. I would say this is, I believe in this a lot. Yeah.
Have your paintings always been related to your dreams, or is it just the series, or when has it started that you express your dreams as well in your paintings?
I think it started, no, they haven't always been related to my dreams. But they have always had this sense of, often I have these sort of shapes that are cave-like. And I realized a lot of people were saying they were very erotic and sort of fluid, but I realized that the sensation I was looking for was a prenatal sensation. That sort of understood. So this is kind of maybe a little, it's not so far away from dreams. It's always had this, a distance from reality, in a way. But I guess when I started focusing on dreams more is when I was, but not all of the paintings are about dreams, actually. There's just a couple of them that are. But when I started focusing on them more was when I was going back home and telling my family about the dreams and then them telling me the significance of those dreams and the sort of the big shock of saying, wow, these dreams are actually related to myths in our tradition that I didn't know about. And realizing that it was sort of, okay, here's the proof right in front of my face that I'm dreaming things that come from ancient Taino myths that I didn't learn. So this is very like, wow, there has to be some type of knowledge here in my dreams that can be useful and intellectual in a way. Maybe we have a different idea of what intellectual maybe is.
From the intellect, yeah.
Yeah.
From the conscious.
Yeah, having relating to history and having some real substance.
Yeah, of course. It feels so nice when everything comes full circle,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, you have these experiences, but you don't know why, and it doesn't really, mm-hmm. Yeah, come together that well.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge moment of confidence in myself and in my brain.
Taino bezeichnet ein indigenes Volk, welches seine Ursprünge in Venezuela und den großen und kleinen Antillen hat. Sie wurden im Zuge der Sklaverei durch spanische Kolonialisten sowie eingeschleppte Krankheiten nahezu ausgerottet. Aufgrund spanischer Dokumente konnten bei Volkszählung keine Angehörigen des Volkes mehr festgestellt werden. HistorikerInnen und DNA-Analysen konnten allerdings bestätigen, dass der Genozid am Volk der Taino ausschließlich auf dem Papier stattgefunden hat, da die Identität der Taino bei den Zählungen nicht mehr anerkannt wurde. 2003 konnte nachgewiesen werden, dass über 60% der Bevölkerung Puerto Ricos in mütterlicher Linie von den Taino abstammt. Bei der Volkszählung 2010 gaben rund 20.000 Puerto RicanerInnen an, indigener Abstammung von den Taino zu sein.
Regarding the fact that dreams and reality are not separated, cannot be separated. On the other hand, regarding your paintings, you put some real objects inside, like the butterfly wings. So this is a kind of vice versa. So reality enters your paintings. What does it mean to have real objects or part of fragments of real objects being inserted in your paintings, or like the burnt paper?
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to make sure that it's clear that really not all the paintings are about dreams. I can say the paintings in the exhibition that are about dreams are the marriage certificate, the two water paintings, and that's it. So not all of them are about dreams. But this question of the real images, I'm a big fan of these. So, for example, I think one to answer this question would be the last one, which is a painting of the brushing of hair. And it's very hard to tell what it is. We kind of go between this stepping back and seeing bits of hair and being very sort of lost in abstract. And then we kind of become closer to the fact that it's hair. And it's just simply because I feel that there's important information in being direct, and I feel that there's very important information in being confused and distant. So I value both, and I don't think that they need to be separated. They both help me get closer to a feeling that I'm trying to express. And so, for example, the butterflies, the moths, those, for example, are around the alphabet as a part of the border of the alphabet, because around the alphabet I wanted to have items and things that are suggestive of the senses, because I made the alphabet, and after the alphabet is sort of established, the rest of the paintings are about nonverbal communication, so not using the alphabet. And how do we not use verbal communication? The one of the first ways is through the senses. And so this butterfly, it's actually a nighttime butterfly, a moth, and they're used to make musk perfume. And the musk perfume is an imitation of pheromones, and that's what's used in attraction. So this smell is one of the senses that communicates. So it's decorated with things that are talking about the senses.
A sort of body communication that is represented and started by regarding your pictures or paintings.
Do you have any other senses that you're depicting, either in sculpture or in the paintings?
Yeah, I think all of them are about a search for having these senses. A search for trying to... I mean, yes, I'm using the one sense, I'm using sight, but all of them are trying to capture, I mean, the title, The Taste of Your Fireplace, is kind of about this impossible loophole of trying to describe the emotional feeling of tasting someone's fireplace, which I feel like we've all been in a certain location. I don't know. I used to have this candle when I was very little that smelled so good, and I remember really wanting to eat it. And I don't know. There's these kind of experiences that are going between all of the senses that are impossible to explain. And these are these kind of sensations that I'm searching for in the paintings.
Und da schreibt sie halt auf Englisch, aber auch in ihrer Schrift.
Mhm.
Super.
Smoke my super slow sum together.
Mhm.
Want you to.
Und smoke my.
Moara. Oder so.
Coffee in the machine, was steht da?
Moara oder so. Temora. Weiß ich nicht.
Nsat bismois. Nsat bismois. Nsat bismois. Act fr. Krisfr. Eorinfka. Act fr. Eorinfka. Act kr. Eorinfka. Grobse prefonai. Groprefonai. Groprefonai. Exfr. Groprefonai. Exfr. Riof. Neorop. Riof. Noeb. Riofnorep uktizot riofriknorp uktizot riofknorp uktizot ktsnop ktsnop.
But actually, I would like to know something about the relationship between figuration and abstraction in your work. Do you need a kind of a figuration for being symbolic and narrative, even though you don't use alphabetic signs or semiotic signs? Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to be figurative at specific parts of your paintings?
For me, the figuration is... I'm very attracted to narratives, and I think that I would be, for better lack of better words, I'd be a little bit lonely if I was in pure abstraction. I think that I like, it's for me, it's like a giving you little hints and little windows, because yeah, I would be very lonely. I mean, I love when we have a sort of, okay, we have one little stepping stool of figuration, and then another area to experience everything in the gesture and the colors and the feeling of painting. But I'm very attached to both. Maybe it'll change when I get, you know. I don't feel as though I know how to express myself fully in another way.
There are also two very different kind of working. One kind very gestural, mm-hmm. and one kind very like a miniature that you yeah. unfold on the painting. So mm-hmm. very different bubbly kinds of painting, I would say.
Yeah, it's true. This is something, the gestural part is something that's new. I say with the one painting in the very end that's of a pipe that's repeating, this painting explains a lot about my process for all of the works, in the way that I spent a very, very long time on the painting, and then I wasn't happy with it, it wasn't successful, and I had a sort of frenzy at the end of a week of covering up the whole painting with the smoke. The pipe is smoking, and then I became very happy with the painting. And it was me discovering how to paint in a gestural way. And I really had never, I didn't know that part of myself. And so now I feel as though it's just another way of communicating. And I feel that a lot of people, it can really stir up a lot of things in people when I'm doing that. So I think it's a good combination of, I make the painting, I put a lot of this kind of nitty gritty work in there, and a lot of, a lot of things I need to put out. And then the gestural part is sort of, we kind of put words to it. When Oriane came to the studio, in a way, it's sort of like I'm cutting off myself. They can't see me on the radio, but it's this kind of final detachment, and sort of also simplifying. A lot of is erased and a lot of is simplified, and I feel that this is more inviting to other people, because it can be more inclusive to other types of sensibilities. And but it's, I think it's very important to know that all the nitty gritty is in there, so that we're led to be able to access that within ourselves too.
So we can see a lot of different colors in the show. They are painting that they really insist on pink and different kind of pink, like to sensual, salmony pink, to a kind of violet, and then you have other painting with that workings on blue, and it reminds me, I have to say, kind of the attraction of Bridget Riley, this water painting where you have this light blue that goes into gray, but suddenly into a green, like a water turquoise green, and then, and I think also this kind of layers of more abstract gestures. It's another way of expressing just a pure love for color, and color is also pure joy. It can be pure joy or pure emotion, as it was said by or analyzed by Goethe in his Lehre der Farbe. There, the the teaching of the colors or what they made with us at the beginning of the 19th century, 1810, I think he was written this book, and how and Goethe described in it very precisely how colored and also the light, especially if it's more dark or more bright, how it influences our emotions, and we see it in everyday life. I mean, when it's dark outside, when there is some clouds, or when we see a sunset, it has an influence on our sensitivity and on our emotions. And I connected it to your work in the sense that. That this really this brightness of this range of colors and this these surfaces. I mean, you making smaller painting and you making also big painting. Where you can be very generous with colors, and I think it has also an impact, and it has this non-communicative sense that. That colors can transmit all these emotions. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
color is one of my favorite things in the world. I've been deeply moved by different color combinations.
Yeah,
I think I can just say, for example, one of my first memories of my favorite color combinations was going for walks in the forest with my mom, and there was a river, and it was like not a very high river, but there was lots of stones, and there would be a sun sort of reflection, and it was a brown and opal. Mm-hmm. You know, this brown and opal kind of muddy river. I remember seeing little spotlights in the water and just feeling really blown away, like, this is the kind of things that I love, that color can make these things.
Das wird vielleicht auch dazu passen, dass sie, also ich das ist ja eigentlich super banal, einfach zu sagen, okay, das ist, steht jetzt für das D. Mhm. In diesem Banalen liegt auch dieses, ja, ich löse mich von so einem Konzept, von so einem Konzeptschrift, was dann ja irgendwie super spannend ist. Und das halt auch in so Skulptur zu übertragen, halt diese Duktus in Malerei und Skulptur zu haben, wo sie dann ja aber auch so eine Absage macht an Sprache, an Schrift.
Ja.
Und das halt wirklich wieder in dieses Gefühl packt.
My own private perfection. Nicht geffert, bewerft nur ärm. Viele, wenn du gerne gewohnt, gesagt, jetzt hast du nicht besser. I stepped into the water, thick dusk, knowing I could never leave.
Also ich finde, also irgendwie guckt man immer erst zum Engel und dann immer so dahin.
Ja.
Weil das plötzlich so ganz fein ist, so ganz anders als. Stimmt. Das hat so eine Kontur.
Also wie so. Holzwurmlinien.
Stimmt, wie so eine Maserung. Ja.
Im Wasser aber.
Also ja, während der Rest irgendwie so viel verwaschener ist.
Das Bild lässt es halt zu, dass man neben der Höhle jetzt hier auch noch mal sowas sehen kann, wo ein Licht verläuft, wo hier eine dunkle Wand vor ist, die mehr so fließt mit so einzelnen Tropfen oder so feinen Strichen, und dann ist da noch mal ein Raum. Das haben die anderen Bilder nicht zugelassen.
Ja, aber eher wie so ein Traumraum, also so wie man das aus dem Film kennt.
Ja, voll, das ist überhaupt nicht, es sind halt so fluide Wände. Mhm. Das rechts aber nicht. Das rechts ist relativ statisch im Verhältnis.
Mhm, ja.
Is there any painters or artists in general that inspired you in this kind of relationship to color?
Yeah, I mean, when I was the very first one, was Roscoe, of course.
Yes.
But I like Milton Avery a lot, those colors a lot. Those are the really main two that I like for colors. A lot of the rest is just playing with the color wheel.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm very attracted to opposites, so like red and green, but like opposites, but a little bit off. They can make real
tension.
Yeah. I used to be really in. I used to actually these ones. I'm getting into pink a lot, but before it was a lot of blue paintings.
Does the pink has a special meaning to you, or symbolism, or?
I don't know. I think a lot of people have a lot of emotions around pink.
Yes.
I do not. in the way that other people do. I mean, I think my room growing up was pink. I painted the walls pink. And I think that pink is a very, in some ways it's a very, I mean, I know people, they say this stuff, girl stuff,
yeah,
with the pink. For me, it actually makes you warmer, mm-hmm. I think. And I think it's a very accepting color. I think it has a lot of energy, and I think it's very regal. That's what pink is for me.
Regal?
Royal, in a way.
Royal.
Proud.
Mm.
Not in the sense of all this, you know, history of being royal. More of the accessible sense of being royal.
Like something proud,
yeah,
in pink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I had my room painted lavender, and then I changed it to pink, and I really felt warmer in the room.
Well, you've talked about artists that influence your perception of color, maybe. Mm-hmm. And have there been other major artists that that influenced you, or that you're just very connected to?
Well, yes, of course. I have one. I can say the first painting that made me want to decide to be a painter.
Yes.
It was just in the museum in Pennsylvania. It was like a special show. It was Gauguin and his painting of, there was all these nuns in the bottom, and it's very red, and there's a fight between an angel. I was very struck by the fact of the perspective, and I like his colors a lot too, but he's a very problematic person. I think that I really love George O'Keefe. I think that's, everyone feels that there's that in there. My favorite painting of hers was the inside of a white shell. It's very simple, very beautiful.
Well, what can we see on the painting? Because I don't know it.
Okay, it's the inside of a shell. So you feel like you're inside a shell. And it's white, and it has little sort of, just like an opal, there's little colors in the edges. And you kind of have the feeling that, you're in some type of space. She does this thing of going between, sort of zooming. You feel very big and very small at the same time, that I really like. I would say an artist that influences me a lot is also David Lynch. I feel very connected to him. I think he deals with, I actually think he deals with incorporating dreams in a holistic way, not in an isolated, only dream world way, in an everyday way, very well. Very well, yeah.
Herzlichen Dank fürs Zuhören. Bis zum nächsten Mal bei Hinter den Kulissen. Eine Kooperation mit dem Kunstverein Bielefeld und dem Fachbereich Gestaltung. Raumeindrücke gaben Max Aulenbacher und Annette Brückner. Schnitt Live Stuhlmann.